Good morning, Colorado Springs. Welcome to another brighter day in the neighborhood. I'm Angela Jones. Join me in welcoming today Fred Ramirez, a very good friend of mine.
Hi, Angela. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing glad. I'm glad you could find some time to come over here and spend some time with me.
I was excited about it. Yeah. I thought it was going to happen later, but hey, we did it sooner than later. So
yeah, awesome. I'm super stoked. It has been cold out.
Yes, very cold. Our guys are really not liking the cold being out there, so we try to get them a lot of inside work, but not working lately.
Yeah, so speaking of your guys, so you're one of the owners and founders of Apache Electric here in Colorado Springs.
Yes, we had to found it a little over a year ago because we had a loss with a friend of ours that we had another business with, Earl Mijek, which you know too.
Yeah,
that's how we mutually met, was through Earl. Yeah. So that's how we founded it. We just had to come up with something. We had eight guys that needed to keep working, so I told Justin, you know, he was surprised that I actually made him a partner because I didn't really have to, but it was like, you know what, you've been running Lumen. So I just went ahead and, okay, Justin, let's just go in business together and try this.
So just a little bit of background, you're a master electrician?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been a master electrician. I've been at the electrical field for 33 years. So
how did you get into that?
I've been in construction since I was nine.
Right.
Parents got divorced, had to help my mom out. So I've been in construction since I was nine. Did everything but plumbing. I just, that's not my, something I would do.
That's shitty work.
Oh, yeah. All I know is shit runs downhill, you can pump it back up. So
yeah, that's the trajectory. When I was doing flips, I on my own, like I was kind of GCing my projects. Had a couple plumbers come out, and at one point in time, we added this a drainage for washing machine, or you know, an extra, because we had apartments upstairs in this building. Anyway, he had it going where it went sort of slightly uphill and then back down, and I'm like, that uphill's not gonna work. You know, and so I actually got started doing a little bit of plumbing myself, because it was you know, there's certain principles. Not that it's not hard, not that plumbers aren't extraordinarily valuable, but, you know, some basic plumbing you can get to. But there is no basic electric, from my perspective.
Well, electricity is a moving entity, so it changes its mind. You think you figure it out, and it'll change its mind on you and do something different. So I've seen electricity jump 30 foot from one person to another and get the other person. So every time you think you have it figured out, throw that out the door and start over again. So.
Well, I always thought it was interesting that, you know, I mean, electricity is just like pure energy. And, you know, it's made up of exactly the same thing that everything is made up of, you know, the atoms, neutrons, you know, electrons, like on the very basic level. But how it's just, you know, that power, how you harness it, how you move it.
Nikola Tesla was the best one on harnessing it. He's the one that actually, that's why we got electricity today, because of his transformer that he designed. So, you know, Edison got a lot of credit, but Tesla was the one. We wouldn't even have cell phone technology today if it wouldn't be for Tesla.
Yeah, so. And Tesla was a Coloradan, or at least was in Colorado Springs for a period of time.
For a little over a year, he did some stuff out of by Memorial Park somewhere.
Yeah.
And actually lit light bulbs in Palmer Lake, where you could hear it crackling in, what is it, Cripple Creek.
Yeah.
So he was an amazing guy. I mean, even today, the technology he has, or the stuff he came up with, is still ahead of time. So,
right, absolutely. I think it's fascinating. I love it, you know, to kind of delve into that, those touch points of history, and you know, the real practical, our day to day, and stuff like that. Speaking of history, I want to talk with you a little bit about like your history. So, you grew, you're native Coloradan.
Yep.
Okay, and you were born in Denver.
Yes.
And you moved to Alamosa.
Yes.
Okay.
I was born in Denver, raised in Alamosa for the last part of my schooling. I actually graduated there, but my dad did not energy conservation. He did oil seismograph research. So we traveled all over the United States. I've seen 42 of the states. So.
Oh, tell me more about that. Like what oil seismograph research?
They go around and try to find out where the oil is in the ground.
Okay.
So, you know, they send sound waves down, and it'll let them know there's a whole reading on it.
Is it kind of like a tuning fork thing, or is it?
It's a big, they're like big trucks that have these big metal pads, and they just lift up and vibrate that. Oh. And they have lines set that way they can pick up the vibration. So when it picks up oil pockets, or they can, I don't know how they read it, but they know how to do it.
Did you travel with him up until about nine?
Yes.
Is that when about your parents?
Yeah, that's when about they split up. So after that, we just, my mom relocated back to Alamosa and we just stayed there, went to school. And
so she's from Alamosa originally?
She's actually from Amalia, New Mexico. So it's right by the border town of Colorado.
New Mexico? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love, you know, just sidebar, you know, in that whole area, I'd love to go down like Taos or what have you. And I need to get back down there because they're, I mean, you can fight me on this, but there is nothing better than Christmas style enchiladas.
Yep.
It's
nice.
They're amazing.
Well, I've changed their whole outlook on Christmas because we do the traditional Thanksgiving turkey ham stuff. Mm-hmm. Christmas, we do the Mexican rellenos and pozole and all that stuff. And everybody's like, now they can't go back to having just a turkey or something.
I'm coming to your house this Christmas.
Everybody does.
Well, I'm looking for that invitation. You just put that, you go ahead and put that in your calendar.
I'll have to deliver you some chile rellenos. You'll,
oh yeah.
You'll absolutely never eat a traditional one again.
No.
Mine aren't traditional, so.
Ooh, I'm intrigued. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. So, I'll get back to your cooking, you know, acumen, which, I was not aware. Let's talk a little bit more about Alamosa because, I've been down there. My son actually considered going to Alamosa State at one point in time, play on their soccer team. So been down there for that, but otherwise I've been down to there, to court, but there's even not a lot of Coloradans have ever gotten down to Alamosa.
No, a lot of people don't because there's really nothing there but farm community. So if you're not a farmer, you're really not going to do anything there. That's the reason I left it because construction, if you don't do it during the summertime, warm time, during the winter, you have nothing. I actually did work with a guy that did low-income apartments. So he would build them. It looked like they were open apartments, but there was nothing inside. Mm-hmm. That way he could go ahead and move on the inside after it got cold. So
that's a smart model.
He was very intelligent about that.
So how did you get involved in like construction itself at age nine?
Just my mom needed help supporting us. So I just asked an older guy that was 64 years old walking home from school and he was like, show up here Saturday.
Pick up stuff
I was cleaning up the job site at first. I wasn't the normal 9 year old either, so I was bigger. My grandfather had taught me how to work, so.
Right.
And it was, he just showed me there. That first day I was there, he actually kicked me over a box because I was picking it up with my back, not my legs, so. It's like, don't you ever let me catch you doing that again. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I barely know you and you kicked me. But he ended up being a really wise old man for me that taught me a lot. And he never used a tape measure and would frame, lay concrete, do everything.
Wow. And he was how old when you started?
He was 64 when I started with him.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, he was a good guy. He was just, he taught me a lot. He really did teach me a lot about the construction field, so.
And then you can do just like every aspect of construction then basically.
I could. I haven't done it in a long time because I've been an electrician for 30 years. So I haven't done that in a long time. But I've done everything but plumbing. So.
Right. So how did you settle into electrician, you know, being an electrician or doing that part of, you know, construction? And
after I graduated, like I said, I was there maybe 6 months to a year after I graduated, I stayed there. There was just nothing. So I decided to go ahead and move to Colorado Springs.
Right.
Because I've always liked it. It wasn't Denver, the big city, which I don't like the rat race. So, Colorado Springs is getting big now, too.
But yeah.
When I moved here in 88, it was just a small town city still.
And you were pretty close out of high school about that time. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I graduated in 88. Yeah. So I think.
And I graduated in 86. So.
Well, there you go. Like we're neck and neck there. Yeah.
And then I just decided, you know, I was coming up here. I did a couple things, did carpet cleaning, trying to keep stuff rolling. Mm-hmm. I actually worked for Louie's Pizza when I first moved up here just to make money.
It's great pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Riviera Electric, which was one of the biggest non-union contractors in Colorado, was looking, and I applied, and they wanted me because of my construction background.
I got you.
You know, because I had so much. So I got on with them and worked with them for 4.5 years and then moved on from there because I'm outspoken. And the big corporate worlds, I'm not – one of those guys that just bows down to what you're going to say. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I think. And and
that's why I thought you were going to fight me about the enchiladas.
I like them too myself. So.
So what is, I've always been kind of fascinated about this, the how one becomes an electrician, because it's not something you can just do. I mean, there's this whole apprenticeship, journeyman onto, you know, the master electrician. I mean, I, from what I understand, it takes almost as long to become a master electrician as it does to start college and make it to through your PhD.
It takes, you become an apprentice, you have to get on, because you have to have on the job training too, along with your education part of it.
Okay.
So you have to do both kind of simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So you do first year, second year, third year, fourth year. You need 8,000 hours to go ahead and test for your journeyman with the state. And
okay.
you have to prove that. And then you have to prove your class time, all that stuff. You can become a residential wireman after 2 years. You still have to prove your class time and stuff like that still. Then after you do that, you test and you get your journeyman, but you still have to wait another year to get your master's. But you still have to prove that you've run work, bid work, did blueprint reading,
right,
all that stuff.
Right,
so
right,
there's
right.
more to getting your master's. Some people, the journeyman, think, well, I could just go get it after a year, but you got to be a lot more in detail, and they're starting to check more on that now too.
Right.
That way they get the right people mastered up, not just anybody. So.
And so like 8,000 hours, how, like, let's just assume in a regular 40-hour work week, real time frame are you talking about?
They're only
here?
Allowed 2,000 hours a year too. So
well, okay.
overtime
so
don't count, nothing counts.
It is so at just least 2,000, 4 hours.
Yeah, that's 40
I mean,
hours
4 years.
A week, yeah. mm-hmm.
Okay, at least.
At least.
And that's working as an apprentice.
As an apprentice, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how does one go about getting into that type of, like, an apprenticeship?
There's classes, the IBC up here, not everything mm-hmm. that actually mm-hmm. there's, and then the union offers one too. If you want to become a union electrician, you can go through them, pay your dues, pay for your classes.
Right.
Some companies, bigger companies, will pay for your schooling if mm-hmm. they can afford it. So.
Right. And so you go through those classes, you get through the journeyman, and then it's on to, apprentice, then testing.
And then you can still keep going for your master's if mm-hmm. you want to run your own company. Master's gives you the ability to go ahead and own your own company and run your own company.
Okay. So if you're not a master, you can't
own
your
own company. No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. An electrician. Mm-hmm. Okay. I got
that. That is required for you to have your own company, is you have to have your master's. So.
Okay. All right. That's interesting.
I've ran a lot of companies, bigger corporate companies. I've gotten some companies that mm-hmm. go that are no longer around because after I left, they didn't realize what I was doing
right.
behind the scene
right.
to take care of the bigger customers. So I actually got my master's from a bigger company. They paid me to get my master's. That
oh,
way I
nice.
Could help them run some stuff.
And that's the way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So do you guys, you look for journeymen, or
we look for both.
Apaches need. I know you guys are always looking for really.
Yeah, we
great
look
quality.
For the experienced ones mm-hmm. because we can't have apprentices without the experienced ones. I think the ratio now is 3-1, so you could have one journeyman with three apprentices.
I got you.
But you want your apprentices to be anywhere from 1 to 4 years with your journeyman. That way,
right.
he has the level of experience. That way, he can mm-hmm. concentrate more on the first year teaching him. And mm-hmm. the other guys could still kind of be off on their own doing stuff that still supervised by him, but they could still do it.
That's similar to how we do it at my office. We have a gal and she's really great right out of law school, but there's only so many fresh out of law school, people you can effectively take on,
Yes.
You want people who, even if they don't do precisely the type of legal work, that, I love to hire people from the district attorney's office in particular because they're extraordinarily seasoned litigators. They do jury trials and lots of them. And they have a heart for people, And so, but we can take on more of those, but not very many, fresh out of school. So I think that's sort of what
yes.
you're saying too.
We like getting apprentices that aren't, I like first year apprentices, guys that are green, because then you can teach them. And they don't have no habits from the other companies.
I got you.
And it's always nicer because you get those ones that have been with somebody that was arrogant, and they have that arrogance to them. I know it all. I know this.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't. Because I'm 33 years. I still don't know it all. And I probably die and still not know it all because
right.
there's a lot to do with electrical. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that you got to know.
Well, and your Apache guys have been out of my business. They've been out of my homes. And there's no arrogance with those guys. They're fantastic. I mean, going always above and beyond to take care of things.
Well, our motto is we don't want to treat them like a number. I've been in that big corporate world where you're just a number. We treat them like family. Everybody freaks out because we'll go on the job site. I'll go out there with them and
mm-hmm.
we hug before we leave. Hey, and everybody's like, that's kind of unusual. No, these are my guys. These are my like my kids. When all this started, one of the guys that worked for me before, he moved on, but he goes, Fred, you just adopted 10 kids. And I'm like, I didn't think about it that way, but yeah. I really did. So,
well, it sounds like that kind of is what happened with you back when you were 9 with that. And you didn't, I don't think you mentioned his name, that older gentleman.
Name was Bill. So
Bill, who kicked you over the box.
Oh, yeah. he was a great old man, but he had a lot of knowledge beyond himself. I mean, his dad never used a tape measure. So,
That's fascinating.
It just amazed me because he could cut sheetrock, do everything and frame walls and never used a tape measure.
Wow.
So
like, how do you think he did that?
He'd look at it and just know what, see? Yeah, just, I don't know if it was a tape measure in his head or what it was, but he knew what he was doing.
Well, and he didn't let you do that.
No, never. He owned a tape measure. It was in his box, but that was for that me was for or you. Some other people.
Okay. Well, what other lessons do you think you picked up from him, like coming up under him?
Just, you know, work ethic, just being able to know what to do work-wise and be there. Make sure you're doing something for your customer that nobody else will do. You know, take care of them. That's my whole caring thing, is I do care a lot about helping elderly people.
Okay.
And, you know, disabled people, because, I mean, they're on a limited budget. Even people that have had a lot of money before, once they retire, that kind of goes away. Yeah. And they're on a limited budget anyway. Mm-hmm. So big, major panel change out or, you know, some electrical fires or something like that, they don't have the money to do that. And a lot of times insurances will fight you tooth and nail to change stuff up like that. So we actually work with Brothers Redevelopment, which they help a lot of disabled veterans, single family, seniors and all that. They get government funded, so we actually give them a good rate. That way they can help out more people, and we do a lot of their work. So
okay, so essentially you're giving like low bono services through, and you said it was called?
Brothers
Redevelopment, and that's here in
here
the
in Colorado Springs?
Springs
and Denver. They got offices both places. So.
Okay, and is that your, you know, essentially you're the charity that Apache supports?
I guess we do support it. It's not a charity. There's still something
something
there I'm trying to find yet to where I can support people and help them out and see what we could do for them and better them, and just, you know, our guys can help the company out by doing it. I know with our previous company, we used to help, was it a Lutheran church camp or something like that?
Okay.
And every Memorial Day, we'd go up there and just donate time and
time
whatever they needed.
Effort. Okay.
So we haven't got to that point yet because we're such a new company yet.
Right.
So we still got to get our feet underneath us. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, we started it up with nothing. I mean, we had nothing. So.
Yeah. Because I know it was sort of for you, just found yourself like you said, like with these 10 guys who are looking for a new home.
And see, I knew by myself I could go do it. I've been here such a long time. I knew I could do my own, but I knew we had guys in place that they couldn't. I mean, yeah, they could move to another company. I didn't want them to move to a bigger company because they just have that fighting tooth and nail for their position and stuff like that. And they're good guys, so I wanted to keep them under our umbrella of work with us. So that's why I was like, you know what, forget it, we'll start it up.
Yeah. So. Well, and it seems like just, you know, from you going out as young as you did to like support your, you know, help out with your mom and just this, you know, desire to support, you know, the elderly, and you've got this, you know, real heart for people that, you know, can you pinpoint like where you think that got planted or where that started?
Just caring for, I mean, my grandparents were for one. I mean, you know, they were always involved and they were older. And then when they did retire and everything, we're always around them to help them out. And then my mom, just knowing I had to help her out.
Right.
Because my youngest brother is 9 years younger than me. So when they split up, he was just a baby. So we had to help bring in stuff and do stuff like that.
And you have a couple brothers.
Yeah, I have an older brother and a younger brother. So.
And so what kind of stuff do you do with your brothers?
Just hang out. And my older brother are the ones that are close because we went through the hell of life together, me and him did. So my younger brother didn't get to experience that, which was good because he didn't get to experience the bad part of my dad because he was real abusive and stuff. So, but I mean, that's, I think, what made me and my older brother a better person was because we didn't want to be that part of that life.
You know, and that's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, one of the things that we talk to people about, divorce is very tough, but sometimes it's absolutely the best thing, especially for the kids involved. And it sounds like your mom stepped into that, even to financial hardship that probably didn't exist prior, to give you a better life. And even though you had, you know, you had to kind of step up and become a, you know, big little man, or, you know, early on, sounds like ultimately that was a better choice for you and your brothers.
It taught me and my older brother, because he's the first one that started working. He was 13. Mm-hmm. So he had already started working previous to that.
Yeah.
And it was just wasn't making ends meet, and I knew it wasn't. So, and I mean, I had friends. I was 12 years old making $12.50 an hour, or nine years old making $12.50 an hour, which was unheard of back in back then. That was early, I mean, late 70s. So
yeah, I think, you know.
But I only did 8 hours, 10 hours a week, so it wasn't like he was going broke.
No, sure.
But he knew what the situation was.
So he was actually helping you out, and helping your mom out.
And you know, friends were, "Oh, you made all this money." No, I didn't. It's my mom's. It's you didn't keep it. No, that's my mom's money. If she wants to give me some, if I need to do something, she'll give it to me.
To give some context to this, and I'm trying to, and you're talking about late 70s. I know when I got my first job, and it was probably. And I cleaned around my dad's office. He worked at a pest control company when I was 12. And, you know, I don't remember how much I made then. But when I got my very first job, I made like $2.35 an hour when I was 15. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the minimum wage went up. Federal minimum wage went up to like $3.25. Mm-hmm. And
well, when I started as an apprentice electrician, it was $4.25 an hour. And that was better than minimum wage. But it was still $4.25 an hour in 88.
I remember, like, you know, even my oldest son, who's 30 now, I used to babysit this little girl for after school for $2 an hour so we could, you know, supplement our grocery money.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's why I worked for Louie's Pizza, was because that was, I mean, I could work, I think I was only working 9-10 hours a week, but I was making like $350-400 a month or a week, because I wasn't one of those little kids that was just trying to, you know, supplement something. I was, okay, I'm going to make money.
You're hustling. You're hustling from that, you know, early age. Well, I know you've got, you know, some hobbies. Like you're out there riding your Harley. You getting out much and doing that?
Not lately. It's down and out, so it's getting fixed right now.
Oh.
So I don't get to ride it. Justin keeps getting on me. You got to get your bike fixed.
Fixed. Just as an aside, you've mentioned Justin a couple times. Justin Schmidt is the co-owner of Apache.
He's the one I made business partner, because, I mean, he worked with our old company. He worked his hiney off to get get it done, you know, get stuff done. So when he was lost when we lost Earl, and it was like, you know what, don't worry about it.
We were all lost.
And he was surprised when I told him, well, I'll just make you a business partner, because he was like, really? And I'm like, why don't we just, because you've worked hard at it. I mean, he's been at it for a long time. I mean, he's been at it 16 years now too himself, so.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's actually, he and I have gone back, you know, years. I met him through Earl as well. And I met Earl, it was funny because Earl had this little tagline and that I thought was really hilarious, was he was an electrician. He would say, you know, let me check your shorts. You know, he had that kind of off color sense of humor. But just, he was just a character and a great guy.
Me and you both knew him. Earl was just he was a great guy. He was fun to be around. I've known Earl for 30 years. We started almost at the same time in the electrical field, so I knew Earl for a long time. Right. And everybody freaks out about that. They're like, "You knew Earl that long?" Yeah,
forever.
I mean, we've been through a lot together.
Well, Fred, we're running out of time. I love spending time with you, and we'll have to start getting together more often.
Yes.
I think this both being busy, but you have got to get Justin to come over and spend some time with us over here as well.
I will. I got to get him over there.
Over
here and get him in there. We're supposed to do it all later on, but
right.
This one came up quick, so it was just
me. Well, that's all right. I'm glad we had this one-on-one time.
So. Oh, yeah, definitely. I am too.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. And thank you all, Colorado Springs, for joining us for another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. You can find us here every Sunday at this same time and station. And until next time, have brighter days.